Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you're now live on the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm Al.
This is Kevin.
And this is Jen.
We are missing the superstar that is Nicki.
I know. I feel like where in the world is Nick?
You can't say nothing. You was asking last week, Playboy.
I know, but, you know, I have some business to take care of, so I had an excuse.
Yeah, always. Nicki and Jen. Mm-hmm. Dan and Nicki, Craig and Day-Day.
Craig and Day-Day.
Oh, whatever. Craig and Day-Day had business to take care of.
Oh, okay.
Well, we glad to have you back.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, maybe Nick out there working with them people for that X Factor show. Who knows?
Oh, damn,
I let the cat out the bag.
Yeah. See?
Good,
see.
You can't hold water.
That's your old thing. Damn.
Surprise birthday party, gifts, nothing. Don't tell Kevin. Remember that.
Don't tell Kevin. We'll just pretend like it didn't happen. So moving on, Al.
Yeah. Savor the moment.
Yeah, we want to, give our, condolences out to Amy Winehouse and her family, all her supporters, fans. She passed away this week. You've been watching the news, of course. You all have seen, recent ads and runs about this topic about Amy Winehouse, her passing, and a lot of people comparing her to a lot of other artists who died at young ages, as well too. Just like Jimi Hendrix, Jim Brock, and Jim Morrison, and what's the other guy from
Nirvana?
Nirvana.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
They're just tortured souls. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. So I'm a big fan of Amy Winehouse. I think her Back to Black album is one of the greatest albums of all time. She will be missed, and her talent will be missed. This is just sad. It's a sad situation.
I don't know if I can consider her as talented as everyone else, though.
Oh, have you listened to Back to Black? Have you listened to the entire... Okay, then don't judge. Because if you go get that album, I bet you'll be you'll rank her top 10, no doubt.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I like Kurt. I love Jimmy. I love Tupac. But if Amy Winehouse, I ain't hear nothing from her like that. Just saying.
Don't hate. Get the album and then come back and talk to us.
I really hate that she died like that, especially when you got somebody that could help you, help yourself. Much like with Michael Jackson, he had people around him that could have helped him help himself.
True.
It's
very,
sad.
Very true.
That's sad.
So people that have enablers in their life, if you are an enabler, stop. If you know someone that has a problem, if you know someone like that, do not be an enabler. And if you do have a problem, cut the enablers out of your life because they will, they'll kill you. Or you will kill them.
Some people don't know how to do that. And some people don't know which ones are the enablers. Well, because they've been around those people for so long, that's all they know.
Yeah, but, you have to find... We all have to be accountable for our own selves, and you have to find the strength in yourself to be accountable for your actions as an adult.
That is.
Otherwise, you will resign your life to death and to someone else. And that's an unfortunate choice that many people make.
Yeah, it's true, Jen. Well, choices that people got to make. Let's segue into this part. Our president, man, they trying to peg him as the angry black man right now.
You know what? May I say this? People get ready, because you know what? He's going to need an army behind him, because these people rather see the country fail than to see this wonderful man succeed. And they're doing everything they can to counteract,
right,
you know, his, you know, ideas, to counteract his things that he wants to put into law just so he won't succeed, just because he is a black man. I believe that. I think it's true, because otherwise, why aren't they working with him when we have the country at stake? And it's really, you know, if you have a congressman or you have a senator or whomever in your district, and they are fighting the progression of our country for the sake of, they just don't want Barack Obama to succeed, tomorrow morning you need to give them a call. And again, I extend, you know, if you don't know who it is, send me an email and I will look it up for you.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something like this. I want to see him just get real gangster. I want to see him sit up there and punch that dude John Boehner in the face.
Yeah.
Don't punch him in the face. I'm talking about hard as he can. Yeah. I mean, Buddy looking like, you know what I'm saying, I walked away from the table. Man, who is you?
I mean, it's disrespectful. Not in the history of this country has anyone ever disrespected the president the way that they disrespect Barack Obama. They blankly call him a liar on the, you know, on the Congress floor. They walk out on meetings from him. No one ever in the history of our country, in the 400 or 500 years this country has been in existence, has anyone disrespected a president that way. And I think it's disgusting. And I hope it's coming up. I'm starting to get the emails that everyone is gearing up, because we're going to have to really hit the roads and be strong to make sure that he has a chance to finish out another 4 years and to finish what he started.
You know, this is the sad part about it right here. You know, people, like you said, Jen, they're not giving them a chance. And, you know, I'm not a Barackaholic. I'm going to keep it real. You know, I have to check Buddy when I see something he do that's not wrong. I mean, that's not right. I'm going to say it. But other than that, you know, they need to let this guy do what he do, you know, and help this country. He need to help this country make everything the way it needs to be. And
right,
if somebody sit up there and keep saying, I'm gonna do everything I can to stop you, man, put them on blast. I want it, man. Let that couldn't be me. That's all I can say. I will be the first black president to get impeached. Period. Because I'm gonna leave. Cause you know how you get fired for hitting a coworker. I'm leaving that day. I'm punching everybody.
Right. And some people felt a lot of the things that he wanted to be, you know, put in place to be already in place. And it's not his fault. And, of course, you blame the person who put the information out, which is something easy for them to do. They just, okay, well, we're just going to blame President Barack Obama. And another thing that pisses me off when they introduce him or when they say something about President Obama, they don't say President Obama. It's Obama or Barack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
or
disrespectful.
Barack Obama.
It's disrespectful. I'll say this.
Right.
I did not disrespect. I didn't like President Bush. I didn't agree with probably almost everything that he did. However, I never was disrespectful towards him, because that was our president. And how can you dare call yourself a patriot or a supporter of this country if you're disrespectful to our commander-in-chief? I think it's disgusting. And people need to start calling these people out and start saying, you know, you're crap. You're basically crap.
Well, you know, just like the subject that we're talking about today, he's a positive figure. They don't like to see that. They want to peg all of us in the same boat to be evil, mischievous, not nothing.
Uneducated, murderer,
uneducated,
racist.
Yeah, exactly. That's where they want to see all the black people at. But I'm with all the black males especially. But, hey, I'll let everybody know that just joined in. Let them know what we're talking about today.
Well, today, of course, as you see, the title of the subject is Rebuilding the Black Man. Now, Kevin and I have been talking about this for weeks as far as this particular topic, and wanted to bring up something that, you know, would catch the eye of this particular genre of people. Now, we specify certain things that we want to discuss today, and we're definitely going to go in more depth about why we chose this particular topic. Now, in the past, black males were not perfect, but we were viewed as hardworking, dedicated, civilized contributors to their community, which were our community back in the day. Now, in more recent years, these characteristics have not been the case. You have some black males out there today who are misguided, they're misled, and also lost in regards to what is be a positive black figure for our society. We the middlemen of this particular show, we have identified certain characteristics that some black males, not all, lack for their generation. And some of the things which we're going to discuss is the individuality, discipline, vision on what of a real man looks like, and also the vision of self-worth, drive, and ambition. Now, some of the questions which we're going to identify today, too, is that we're going to further discuss, is have some of the males who are becoming adult men lost their sense of becoming family-oriented? And what can the adult males do for the generation now to help them become more family-oriented? And what basic elements are needed to instill the civil aspect as far as into our young men? And lastly, have our young men become more of a lost cause to everyone? And that particular last question is basically the views of how we feel that other races view our young black men. Do they feel that they're a lost cause? No, we can't help them. There's no hope for them. So we're going to get into more in depth about this particular subject now. Now, Kevin and I have been talking about this for a while. I mean, we see it all the time. I mean, we see it on the news. We see it in the street. I mean, you have a vast majority of young males from 18 to 24 that still do not know what they want to do with themselves in life. So this is the purpose of this particular show. We're definitely going to break it down from youth all the way up to adulthood. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, if you're on the chat board, make sure you place your comments there. If you want to call in, make sure you dial 718-508-9972 and press 1 on your phone to get in on the show. We definitely want to hear what you all have to say about this particular topic. I know we have a lot of shows that are viewed towards our black women, but we want to target our black men today. But all of our shows are brought upon this particular show to uplift and help us to identify things that we see that is wrong, that we talk about all the time. We want to put it out there for the public so we can hear what the public has to say about it as well, too. A lot of these topics we always talk about amongst our friends, but we put it into a perspective where you can actually see it from a different, you know, angle, and also we want to discuss it, converse, and try to create a problem solution for this.
I'm excited to get in there.
Oh yeah. And what we're going to do right now, everyone, we're going to go into our first little break. And if you're on the phone line, first time listening to the Middleman Talk Show, each record that we play is somewhat geared towards the show. So if you're on the phone line, don't hang up. We want to make sure you get your thoughts together. As soon as we come past this break right here, we're going to go directly into the conversation. The number to dial to get into the conversation is 718-508-9972. And if you're on our phone lines, you would like to make a comment, or, you know, you got something you want to add into the conversation, just press that number 1. As soon as we get past this break, we're going directly into this conversation. You're listening to the Middleman Talk Show on Blog Talk Radio, and our first record that we're going to play today is Unborn Child by our man, the great, and yes, Al, I can see it, the late Tupac Shakur.
Why y'all keep saying that, man?
To my unborn child. To my unborn child. In case I don't make it. Just remember,
to my
daddy
unborn
child.
To my unborn. Now, ever since my birth, I've been cursed since I'm born the wild. In case I never get to holler at my unborn child. Many things learned in prison. Blessed and still living. Trying to earn every penny that I'm getting. And reminiscing. Beginning of my mission, when I was conceived and came to be in this position. My mama was a panther lab, single parent, but she drowned when she witnessed baby boy rip a crowd to school. But I dropped out and left the house because my mama say I'm good for nothing. So I'm out since I only got one life to live. God forgive me for my sins, let me make it and I never steal again or deal again. My only friend is my misery, wanting revenge for the agony they did to me. See, my life ain't promised, but it sure gets better. Hope you understand my love letter to my unborn child. Tell the world I feel guilty to being anxious. Ain't no way in hell that I could ever
my time, but I'm still breathing. Living proof there's a God if you need a reason. And I believe in my own faith. Will I raise my kids in the right or the wrong way? Hey mama, I'm a man now. I wanna make it on my own, not a handout. Make way for a whirlwind, prophesy. I wanna go in peace when I gotta die on these cold streets. Ain't no love, no mercy, and no friends. In case you never see my face again, to my unborn child. To my unborn child. In case I pass away, but my child get to feel love. Or we all just cursed to be street thugs and being black cursed. And even worse, if you speak first, living my life as an outlaw. What could be worse? Cause maybe if I tried to change, who I'm kidding, I'm a thug till I die. I'm a ride, a man, touch base, eat lunch and plush places. Regular criminal awaits, just a waste. If there's a ghetto for true thugs, I'll see you there. And I'm sorry for not being there. Just tell your daddy was a soldier. Me against the world, best of poison on my little girl.
Today, I want to give a shout out to everybody in the chat room, everybody who is on the phone line. You all in for a great show today. And we definitely have some interesting subject areas in which we're going to discuss today on today's show. The title of today's episode is Rebuilding the Black Man. And a lot of things we're going to discuss today as far as, you know, certain criteria and characteristics that some of our black males of this generation lack, such as individuality, you know, discipline, vision on what a real man looks like, vision on their self-worth. You know, some of them don't have self-worth, and also their drives and ambition. You have a vast majority of black males out here that don't have any goals. They're just out there. They just wake up every day doing the same thing over and over again. And some of the things, some of the questions which we're going to target is, have the males who are becoming adult men lost the sense of becoming a family-oriented male? And also, what can the adult males do for this generation to help them become a family-oriented type person? And also, what basic elements are needed to instill the civility back into our young men? And also, lastly, have our young men become a lost cause towards everyone else? So we want to hear what you all have to say out there. Thanks to everybody tuning in on the phone lines and also the chat board. As I will say again, you may dial 718-508-997 to actually get in on this conversation. If you're on the chat board, place your comments there. If you say anything that really catches our eye, we'll definitely repeat it for you on the air so the people who are not on the chat board can actually see your comment and hear your comment. But we definitely would like to hear from you if you are having a good opinion on the chat board. Make sure you dial in. You know, call in 718-508-9972. So,
Yep. Man, you know, just to think about, just in contrast, as we were speaking earlier, you look at males of the generation before us and the one before them. You know, it's like in the description, man. They weren't perfect, but they worked hard. They were dedicated and civilized. This is not an attempt to put down the young black male of now, because I think if you didn't have that guidance to understand how to be a hard worker and dedicated to every aspect of your life, and that goes from family, God, and yourself, you know, you won't have that type of understanding.
But to be fair, and this is as a coming from a woman, to be fair, I do not think that we must go in and say, out of the blue, you know, all these black men just decided to be horrible and not be fathers and be all that, you know, just this image just popped out of nowhere. There has been an attack on us since the moment we stepped on this soil. It just has, the attack has changed throughout generations. And the generation before us, you know, that are older, that grew up, you know, during the Civil Rights Movement, when the Civil Rights Movement ended, there was a, you know, a movement by the FBI and a movement, I mean, this is not conspiracy, this is real and documented, a movement by the FBI and a movement by our country to unstabilize our communities and unstabilize, you know, our men. They were thrown in jail. We had drugs infiltrated into our neighborhoods. And these are lasting effects that have broken down our entire generation. And I don't think it's fair to say that, you know, it just happened. They had a bad start from the beginning.
Right. Well, I'm not saying it from the standpoint of it just happened. I mean, within the last past two decades, it's gotten worse, Jen. Let's keep it real. The 80s was bad, the 90s was worse, and now it's
worse. One thing builds upon the other. Look how when heroin and crack infiltrated our neighborhoods, and you had mothers on crack, you had young men beginning to sell drugs at, you know, a high rate, and you know,
right.
We had people, the prison systems were, you know, overfilled by, you know, black and brown people. Yeah, this is the effects of that happening over the last 20 years. I mean, it's sad. Now we're seeing the results of this movement that was put into place 20, 30 years ago to destroy us as a people.
And as you said, Jen, the residuals of that is the fact, just like in the descriptions, they're misguided, misled, and lost as far as seeing positive figures in their life. And that's one thing that we definitely need to, you know, cover when it comes to our young black male. Because if you think about it, like I was saying, you know, at one point in time, I did get the opportunity to see a strong black male. And if I didn't have the opportunity to see that, then therefore I would not be who I am at this moment.
That's right.
Now, as far
I think it has to be more than TV figures. It has to be more than basketball players.
That's right.
You know, 30 years ago, people's heroes were their fathers or their uncles or the man that lived down the street. The community leader. It has to be people that regular people, someone who doesn't, you know, make $1 million a year.
That's right.
You know,
that's
someone
exactly
who doesn't, just a regular person who steps up and says, you know, this, own your community. There's also a movement that happened nationally, not just with black people, with all people, where they developed this mentality of the I mentality. We're used to, it used to be us. You know, they have demonized the Black Panther movement in the media and throughout history. But the Black Panther movement, you know, the Black Panther started the breakfast program, which is
every school system
in America today. And they said, not in my community.
And that's
I won't
we
have your
this.
Drugs in my community. I won't have you demonizing our young people. I won't have violence. I won't have you coming in and destroying our community, not in my community. And we don't have anyone now doing that in individual communities throughout the country.
Yes,
we don't
do.
Have
yes,
that.
Yes, we do, Jen. Yes,
not
we do.
In
but,
masses.
Let's take this caller.
Not
let's
in masses.
This, Jen, let's take this caller.
Okay.
Let's take this caller right quick. Caller 973, thank you for holding. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Yeah, peace to everyone in the room.
Peace to you, brother. What's up? Who's calling?
My name is Rasul Amin, Independent Ministry, and my theme is how to put the neighbor back in the hood, and I'm calling from New Jersey.
Okay.
I think I was on once before. I'm not sure, but what I wanted to say was I've just been listening a couple of minutes, and one of the problems and the question that needs to be asked is, Adam, where art thou? Meaning, when I say Adam, where art thou, you're talking about men and women.
Right.
One of the main concerns that has to happen in our communities is it's time for the men to come out of these masjids, mosques, churches, and get involved in the community, in the streets, and be seen amongst our young people, spending time with them, talking to them, and seeing where they're at, because that's what they want. And when they get familiar with you, believe you me, they will open up. They just want somebody to talk to. So we have to have that presence again, like the sister was saying, you know,
right.
when we were coming up. You know, we always talk about the problem, but we need to focus on the solution. What are the solutions?
Right.
And we have to get actively involved. These kids today are in an environment, a language that's structured to destroy.
Right.
Lil Wayne came out with the album. He sold 1 million copies in 1 year in prison. He sold 1 million copies in 1 week, excuse me, out of prison. I'm not a human being. That's a dangerous language to put out here to a people that's
sure
not
is.
Thinking.
Oh, yes,
Nike.
It is.
That's Nike right. got a slogan. Nike got a slogan, just do it. That's dangerous if you're not a thinking people. So we have to, what has to happen is we have to change the language. Martin Luther King said we got to x-ray our past to determine where we're going in the future. See,
mm-hmm.
we are wounded people that need a healing. And we
right.
have to learn how to carry the burden of the race and not be so emotional. Don't forget what
uh-huh.
happened to us, but let's move on. You know the saying, 40 acres and a mule? Well,
mm-hmm.
they gave us what they intended, 40 acres and a mule. We're people of aches and we're stubborn. That's a mule. So they gave us what they intended. So we have to get ourselves together. Stop worrying about what somebody did to us. Stop looking at all the unwarranted fears and schemes against black people in the community, and let's do it ourselves. One brother I used to work with, when he used to speak to the audience or at the churches dealing with the gang members, he used to open up like this. He said, if we don't get it together, one day white folks are going to walk through a museum and point up and show their little kids and say, see those are niggas. They don't exist no more.
Mm.
Thank you.
Hey, man, we appreciate that, brother.
Very
I mean,
true.
We appreciate
I think
that.
I think he said something very powerful, where your eyes, your ears, they are portholes to the soul. And we need to be more protective about what we let in, like what we see, what we allow ourselves to see, what we allow ourselves to listen to. Because it subconsciously, these words, subconsciously, these images, they have, you know, programmed and really have, you know, brainwashed us into
mm-hmm.
thinking, you know, we're less than what we are. When we are, you know, we as a people are as great as anybody else on this earth.
Right. And the day and age that we're living in now is more media-based. So, of course, our youth are going to be more impressionable towards figures in the media right now. So they feel like they can be a Lil Wayne, a Young Jeezy, or Jay-Z or something like that. And a lot of the people, as far as doctors and lawyers and writers and editors, that
but it's a lie. It's a lie.
Let's do this right quick. Hey, we got another caller that's been holding for a little bit. Let's bring this caller in right here. Sorry about interrupting you guys, but caller 843, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. Thank you for holding. And caller 404, we're coming to you real shortly. Thank you for holding.
Hey, this is T. Smitty. What's going on, man?
What's up, Smitty, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey.
I'm doing great. See, people think I'm hard on black women. I'm actually hard on black men, and I'm hard on black people.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I'm going to say is people love talking about the crack epidemic. Black people need to do some reading. Read the Patrick Moynihan report. That was from the 60s about how the underemployment of black men, how it destroyed the family structure.
Right.
Also, women of all races go to college more than men of all races. You know, black men still make more money. Cause I know they could be throwing it in a second. The thing is, though, the problem with black men is that, one, when people want to talk about goodness, neighborhoods, and stuff, let's be real. You don't need a Black Panther Party nowadays. You need people to police their own damn neighborhood. Now, I didn't grow up in a hood or anything as a kid. But those white people next to me and stuff, if something went down, they went to the police. Or they went to these schools like, hey, if you don't clean the school up, we're going to pull our kids out. But what we do, we want to pull up the bad in our community
mm-hmm.
to fight the good. Because they say, talk to these young boys. Trust me, if the dope dealers are like Robin Hood, they getting all the adulation and the praise. You know, they're the ones that getting all the money, the adulation, the praise, the hot chick.
Right.
So the thing is, you got to take away what they want. Also, I tell black people this as well. Many of these people are not political prisoners. It's all about choices. I don't care if crack came in the 80s, whatever. Nowadays, you got a choice. You make
yep.
a choice.
That's
and,
right.
That's all it is.
I agree with that, T. And this
and
one
also,
thing,
yeah.
this
but,
is one thing
I,
that
I
feel.
I say,
Jen, hold on one second, Jen.
Okay.
And you know, this is one thing right here that I feel that you know, even in like what we're talking about as far as his overall show, self-worth. If young black men learn how to have self-worth, that's when we can actually help rebuild them. And
right.
Just like the gentleman said earlier, you know, we got to get out the mosque. We got to get out of the churches. We got to get out of these houses watching football every Sunday. Get out here and talk to these young men and help them understand that they are worth something. Because if we don't, as the brother said, we're going to have people going into the library or these museums and saying, hey, this is what a black man was.
And I don't think that we need a new Black Panther Party, but the idea of people in the community coming together and saying, I'm taking control and taking my community back from negativity. That's what we do need, something like that. And also, self-worth, crack and all those bad things in the past, they were beaten down. Self-worth isn't something that you're born with. It's something that you're taught and something that you learn.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the direction that we need to go. We're going to take
that's
this
right.
next caller right here that's been holding for a while. Caller 404, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Hey, greetings, bro. This is Elias.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Hello, Elias. Not much, brothers. And how
good
you doing,
from?
Fine.
I love this subject, but you know me, bro. I get into a little psychological aspect of it.
Okay.
Now, you have to remember that existence, especially the human being, we have physical laws and we have chemical laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. We are actually machines. So if you got people still drinking tap water, eating the foods without exercising and stuff like that, it is literally almost impossible for us to think or react properly. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
we're already drugged and overdosed, first of all. And then second of all, we had all the greatest leaders such as Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, Martin Luther King, and et cetera. You see what I'm saying? So we have all the information. But the fact of the matter is we're just not following up and respecting things that's already given, you know, that's in existence, because God helps those who help themselves. So say, for instance,
right.
you have 15, or if you have 15 to 20 brothers in a neighborhood, or even less than that, who lived what they spoke. You understand what I'm saying? Because we can always mm-hmm. point the finger at some of the white men and all this kind of stuff, but you don't have to take their drugs. You don't have to drink their water. You don't have to eat their food. You know, you have communities nowadays that's creating their own community, like raising their own food, their crops and stuff like that. We can be responsible, and it take one or two or three people just to be consistent, you know. And so that's all I'm saying.
But can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question? I think the key is how. Like, take a young guy, you know, from a neighborhood. How do I convince him that why should he not drink the tap water? Why should he read the book? I agree with you, but I'm saying that what is hard for us in coming up for the solution is how do we convince them?
Right.
Okay, once again, let me reiterate. We don't worry about convincing them, just like the media. They just, see, if you know anything about Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf, number one law in existence is propaganda. You got McDonald's, they're making millions and millions and billions of dollars, but they still show us commercials because they're always in your face. And, you know, the masses are today, we are like a microwave society. Our attention span is like every 2 seconds. So I reiterate again, if you have some brothers or even sisters, just a couple of families that live the lifestyle, because even myself when I was younger and brothers that I know, they always reminisce on the ones who lived correctly in the neighborhood. Oh, I remember such and such. He did tell me this because Rome wasn't built in a day. So, your behavior is dropping seeds because you know how this life works. If they don't want to listen, the earth will kick them in the behind. Like, oh, then they be coming running when they're in trouble. That's the law of nature. And that's what I mean, that we got to study existence, because existence always gives us an example that sometimes we try to recreate the wheel. And you can't go beyond the creator. It's like if you buy a brand new car. You
mm-hmm.
come with rules. They already tested it. They said if you hit 20 bumps, this is gonna happen. If you start your car over 100 times, so it's already laws in existence that we have to learn. I'm sorry, go ahead, brother.
But yeah, just like man, I mean I agree with you, and then at the same time I still agree with Jim, because it's, honestly, don't worry about it, but at the same time there is a daunting task to get people to realize what you just said. It's like they have the masses.
Mm-hmm.
Look at McDonald's. They have the masses to be able to transmit that to everybody. You and I, we can say only to the people in our surrounding and immediate areas. It's like just even to get people to understand what we're trying to do here, it's hard to get it out to everybody at one time.
I compare it to someone being on drugs. it's hard to get someone, a drug addict or alcoholic, to attend a rehab. And people, right. and especially black men, are addicted to negativity. And it's hard to
there you go.
To convince a lot of them that you need to rehabilitate your vision of where you and your community and your family must go. That's a hard task.
Right.
Well, can I give you some examples?
Go ahead.
No, I want to give you some examples. I remember when we did the Million Man March. We didn't have the media. We didn't have, because I was in the Nation from 19 to 30 years old.
Okay.
And I remember even the Nation of Islam back in the day. If you check out all the movements that were successful, they didn't have all this hype. They were just consistent because we got the same drugs. We got the same mentality of people. They used to be on the little corners and preaching on the block and stuff like that. And the people came because the world, you know, people get to the point they're tired of being abused. They're tired of, but we don't have nowhere to send them. It's like in the mosque, you got a lot of graduating students that graduate the age of 12 or 13 and apply for college. But blacks, we don't have a university to send them to. See, that's the thing about it. So the ones that are doing something, they come together and have a facility, have an environment, have a location, so when these people come, then they have nowhere else to return, because human nature, humans are consistent, you know, humans are creatures mm-hmm. of habit. You see what I'm saying? So if we are right. creatures of habit, and we are got what worked and what still works is that we try to recreate something that's already in existence, and that's our problem. Just be the example, and I guarantee, and be consistent. It's like your show.
Yeah, that's
your
true.
Show is consistent. You know what I'm saying? People come and go and come back, but long as
right.
they have a voice and a place, and that's what we need. So don't worry about trying to chase and chase people down, because the earth spins 1,037 miles an hour. That means a complete circle. They'll come right back, just like lovers and family members and other people. That's the nature of life. But one thing in black community, like you said about the Black Panthers and the Nation and stuff like that, they had facilities. They had the bakery. They had the stores. So when a person got tired of McDonald's, he said, "Shit, man, I got this high blood pressure, man. Let me go to this little healthy little store over here." They're going to come
yeah.
because the world uh-huh. is coming behind. You see what I'm saying?
That's true,
so
bro.
That's true,
bro. Man, we appreciate you for your comments.
Yeah,
if you want to get back in, go ahead and press that one, man. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No problem, bro.
All right. Thank you. We're going to take this next caller right here. Caller 42, thank you for holding. And caller 626, we're going to come right to you. Caller 42.
Oh, greetings.
What's going
greetings,
on,
family.
Bro?
Oh, brother, I'm still learning, as always. Still learning.
Hey, black man, what's going on?
Oh, man, you know, I'm blessed.
Most
what bad. I was going to say to add on to what the gentleman said, because he hit a lot of good points. Because we all know that words, if you speak the right word, it has a certain speck of, it has sparks of light. So when it touches the human soul, it touches that very nature of God within you to mm-hmm. either rise or to fall. So that's one key when you're talking to somebody. And it's, you know, we can't reach everybody, because we can only reach them in our own community or what's near us. So that you try to work where you can. It's difficult. It ain't going easy. It is difficult. But you try to work as best you can and try to put that nurturing and that seed in them, so that it'll grow and they'll want to go get the knowledge and become better.
That's
you
true.
Know thyself is more important. The other thing is, it's going to turn into this other situation, which I'm hoping it doesn't get to, which is known as the ultimate solution.
Right.
The ultimate solution is, we are going to be put in a position where we're going to be forced to either stand up, or you're going to go out there and drown. And if you do not think that's not going to happen, you better check out everything that's going on in this world today, especially in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, sir.
That's
Good
the
comment.
Only other solution. We're going to have Good to comment. Do it, but you either can do it by choice, or we're going to be forced
by
to
force.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. Man,
and
that's
when
great.
I think it's very scary that I think that time is closer than we realize. I truly believe with
yeah.
some of the things that's happening across the world, and here in America, I think that people better pay attention, because
yeah.
you know, in the scale of time, you know, we'll still be here in 40, 50 years, you know, by the grace of God. But, you know, we could be here. And I think in the next upcoming, you know, couple of decades, pay attention, because things are going to change.
You're right. And I'm going to say this real quick before I get off, because I know I got to go.
Okay.
Is that the Creator didn't put things in order like this just to put it in. He knows that he has a appointed time, and that's when he's trying. He's really trying to wake you up to do something better, and a lot of us are not grasping it, so he's going to force you to do it. So if you love money and you think this system that you're living in is a good system and your education in this system is going to help you, good luck, because it's not. That's all I got to say. Thank you for letting me be on.
Man, thank you, brother.
You.
Thank you very much.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
We're going to take this next caller right here, 908. Thank you for holding. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Yes, this is Cassidy from New Jersey. Am I on the line?
Yes, you're on the line.
Yes,
you're on the line.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you. I'm calling from New Jersey. I'm enjoying the conversation. And I just want to say a few things. First of all, I heard everybody talk, and I will say this here, that this is a very, very complex issue that we're dealing with. It is not simple, and one of the things that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he said that the duty of the civilized is to teach civilization to the uncivilized. So that's our job. We go through all scripture, and I want all of you to revisit the outstanding work that Juwan Jikunjufu did on countering the conspiracy to destroy black boys. This is a very, very important issue that we have to go full blast. I mean, it's urgent to have all these machines in motion to distract us, all these machines having brothers saying, I'm a dog, I'm a nigger, I'm a beast, I'm an animal. Mm-hmm. I gave a talk one time. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, how many beasts we got in the room? Mm-hmm. I said, how many dogs we got in the room? Mm-hmm. I said, how many niggas we got in the room? And nobody put their hands up. I said, let me ask you another question. How many human beings do we have in the room? Now, their hands went up reluctantly, but they realized, I ain't no nigger. I'm not a dog. See, he shamefully won't accept that identity, but he will allow other people to call him that. And until we begin to change this identity issue, like the sister was saying, the crack, they wipe us out. That's the drug bomb. That drug bomb hit us, wipe us out. We have not yet recovered from the drug bomb of dope and coke. It wiped us out. So we're a very, very dysfunctional group that we got a lot of surgery to do. It's not even a very complex issue. But until we begin to change the language, where brothers begin to see each other as, I grew up, a guy lived by me, of course. This is my cousin. He ain't my cousin, but that's the kind of respect. This is my cousin. This is my brother. These guys call themselves by words that demean. See, when I say nigga, I've reduced you. That's why I say, nigga, I'll smoke you. See, when he say nigga, ain't no love with that. That's why it's easy for him to take the gun and put the gun to a nigga's head, because there's no elevation. So what we have to do, we have to begin to change the language. You have to work on this identity. When the police pull you over, I don't care if you're right or wrong, the first thing the police say is, let me see your ID. See, they want to ID you. They want to, who are you? And most of these brothers don't know who they are. That's why somebody can say, here's your identity for the day. You're going to be a dog today, you're going to be a beast tomorrow, you're going to be a nigga. But I've never seen a nigga build a community, I've never seen a dog build a community, I've never seen a beast build a community. So until we change this language, we have massive, massive problems. So we're in the field. Yes, sister, yes.
And I think that, if I may share this, like when I first saw Roots, I wasn't alive when Roots first came on TV. But like when I watched it with my dad for the first time, I think one of the most things that resonated towards me is when Kunta's father and Kunta Kinte did it himself when the children were born, and they took them outside and they lift them up to the sky, and they said, you know, behold, this is the only thing greater than yourself. We don't put that into our children. We don't, not all of us, because some of us do, but so many kids do not get that where you know, you were saying that, you know, teach them who you are and that you're not a nigga or a dog or all this. We need to have a massive movement of showing our children there is nothing more greater than you.
And we thank you for your call, brother. We got another call that's been on hold. If you would like to get back in the conversation, press the number
one.
Thank you. All right. KC Kool-Aid, I know you've been holding for a while. We do appreciate that. You're live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
It's Linda.
It's who?
Linda.
Linda.
You got a comment?
You got a comment?
I don't know what that is.
It's Glenda. We went to Washington, D.C. together.
From Washington, D.C.
Listen, I am calling because it concerns me as an older woman.
Okay.
That the guys that are still growing up right now, that are considering themselves men, so many of them were raised with no man.
And that's true.
That's, it's interesting how they are embracing their lives and and the world right now, they're very defensive instead of nurturing, and instead of understanding that they own this. And, I don't know what to do about that. It's like they need to know that in the beginning, God made them the ruler,
mm-hmm.
and just take control.
Well, I agree with you, but in the same aspect of what Jen was saying earlier, there's a lot of things that contribute to that way of thinking. And it comes to the point, just like all the other brothers that called in before said, we got to get up off our butt and make something change in our communities. If we don't get up and make things change, we are destined to be in a situation that we're not going to want to be in.
That is true.
Right.
That is true.
And I think more people, it has to be a movement where more people take on it as a personal responsibility. People ask, why do you volunteer? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Because it is my personal responsibility as not only as a black woman, but as a human being to contribute to the area that I live in. And more people need to have that attitude.
And that's very true. Go ahead, Dale.
Well, see, a lot that we're missing out on, and that a lot of the majority of the African American males that they miss out on is actually listening, because they don't want to listen. They think one direction. Instant gratification. It's all on me. I'm about me. No one helped me to get to where I am. They don't listen. So of course, you got to add that element into that. That's why, our grandparents used to call us hard-headed.
Mm-hmm.
You're hard-headed. You don't want to listen, So that's another thing that, is really hurting us as well, too, that a lot of them, they don't want to listen. They don't want to listen to anything positive. They don't, make any positive-type goals, from listening to somebody. And then, of course, we can also throw in the church. We're not as prevalent as in church as we used to be. But we still have to get out there in the community, like the caller said earlier on the show, and we need to, promote that. Like, we need to get out there so that we can do better than what, we have been doing.
Right. And one thing, even with everything that we're talking about, just from a solution standpoint, it's action. That's the bottom line. It's
right.
Action. And if you think about it, with all the young males out here, he was saying, it got to be consistency. You can't be sitting out here doing right for 2 and 3 days and then wrong for the next 5. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's not going to help out anybody. People are watching, and that's one thing we always talk about on this show. People watch you all the time. You're a role model if you don't want to recognize that. You are a role model. Every action that you do, there's someone watching.
Somebody's
they may
looking.
Not be just eyeballing you, but they're paying attention.
But they're looking.
So if we sit up here and show these kids that, hey, if you identify with my positive actions, therefore, you can do the same thing also.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely can. And do you have any other comment, Ms. Kool-Aid?
I agree with what you guys are saying, that people need to get busy. People need to get busy and not be so selfish. I agree.
Yes, ma'am. And we thank you for your call. We definitely
thank
you for
your
call. All right, and to all everybody that's on the phone lines right now, if you would like to get back into this conversation, please press 1, and that'll take you out of the queue, and press 1 again to add yourself back into so we can recognize you as a caller that would like to get back into this conversation. We appreciate everybody that is calling in on the phone lines today. Thank everyone for their comment. Now, one thing I did notice that, it is a consistent theme of everything that we're talking about and how to rebuild our young black males. It's action. Everyone that says something has something to do with us getting up, getting out, and make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely
and see,
have
the
to
thing
make sure
is,
that happens.
Right. And we also have to intrigue them. We also have to pique their interest. We also have to, I wouldn't say lure, but persuade in a positive manner, because it's hard to reach them. It's hard to reach them. Believe it or not, it's hard to reach them because, like I said, they live their daily lives only one way, thinking their own way. Now, to have somebody
and they're strung out on negativity also, Al. how can you, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to persuade someone the other way when you do have a McDonald's crack and a Nike crack and a rap crack and all this negativity. Not all rap is negative, but, like, you know, the negative rap crap, crack, and all of that is being pumped into the veins of our society. It's hard to counteract that because it's powerful. It's powerful.
Yes, yes. And appreciate kind of a man over there, you know, on the web chat over there, and everyone that was on the web chat that's listening and also giving great comments on the web chat over there. I see we do have another caller that would like to comment. Caller 973, you are live on the Middleman Talk Show.
Yes, this is Brother Rasul again from New Jersey.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Okay. All right. I just wanted to share this. It's just three lines.
Okay.
As human beings, our limitations rest only in our ignorance. We are ignorant of who we are and what we can do. We have the need to gain consciousness, awareness, and only in our consciousness is our true human capacity open to us. I wanted to share that this is from a book that I think is a must-read for all African-American people or humanity in general. It's called Breaking the Chains of Psychological Slavery by Naeem Dr. Akbar. It's an excellent must-reading, and I'm getting ready to get it to the youth. But back to what we were talking about with the youth and the community and not having the resources. Now, I do construction, and I work for, of course, people who have the resources to build in my community. And what they're doing is they're building in our community condos and some stores and stuff that will open some jobs, but they're not going to be taking TRA in Section 8. And
right.
I live close to the transit train station to New York. So you know who's going to be moving in these spots.
Gentrification.
You know? And what has happened is we have a property right now that's not being used, and I went to my employer, and I told him what I do, what I was concerned about in my community, because you will find out, too, that people outside of your community don't, you know, we got to learn how to carry the burden of race because they want for you to live right, too. You know, but what happened was I went to my employer and I told him what I've been doing in my community. I've been living here all my life and I'm a painter by trade. So he's allowing me to take one of the buildings and take the youth in there and teach them how to paint until it's time to start working on their building. You know, but this is what we got to do. We got to reach out to these youth. See, these young brothers and sisters out here on the corner slinging and doing what they're doing. Believe you me. They want to work, which
right.
and if you're not out there talking to them, or you see them as bad and hard to reach, it's not true. You just got to spend some time with a man, and they open up. They want somebody to talk to, because most of them don't have no father figures or even mothers in the reality of what a father and a mother is. That's why
That's
I said
true.
to the men, we got to come out of these places, man, and hit these streets, man, spend time talking with them, and they'll open up, man, and they'll look for you, man. So
and
you
know,
know
that's
and I wanted to say this last thing.
Okay,
everyone who commented in the room tonight has something to say, and we can't downplay what someone else said if you don't disagree. We have to. That's what we got to do. We got to come together because see, that's what those folks do. They get together in think tanks, and it may be a small majority, and it could be 12 or 15 members. And they throw words back and forth at each other, big concepts. And then they put it out here in society, and they have the resources to back it, and that's how they get us. So we got to do the same thing, man. We got to come together with all our concepts and ideas and move on. Thank you.
Man, thank you very much.
And I ask you, caller, if you would post that book up, the name of the book.
I've already did, Jen.
Okay,
I've already did, Jen.
Thank you for the call. Man, you
Thank
know,
you.
It was something that he said that, you know, I really agree with. You know, you can't look at the gentleman or the young man on the corner like, man, you know, and to tell you the truth, some of these cats, man, they look so, you know, like, and they can intimidate the average person if they don't know how to approach them. You know what I'm saying? But if you get the opportunity to just sit up there and talk to them and talk to them like a person, a human to a human, and make them feel that you do give a care, man, they'll reciprocate that love and that thought if you take that time to do it. And I know a lot of people don't feel like they want to do it because they're so worried about, oh, what if he robbed me? Oh, what if he take my stuff? You know what I'm saying? That's how people look
yeah.
at it. And that's not yeah. a good way to do it. And you know, if we get the opportunity to teach these young men their self-worth, and that's something I want to keep going back to, you got to understand your self-worth. And if you don't have that, you can't look at anything else as look at it as it matters.
And also from the, if we may say about the women too, I know we're talking about the men today, but,
right.
You know, teaching these young mothers to teach their sons, like a lot of these young mothers, they don't have self-worth, you know, themselves. So they if you don't have self-worth yourself, how can you pass it down to your children? So
yeah,
it's important not to forget about the women as well.
That's true, but I look at, like, you know, that I can agree with that. I just would love to see the brothers, even if you do have a mother that don't want to do right, Jen, take it upon yourself. If you're across from someone, you see that mother ain't doing right, if you got the opportunity to talk to that child, and, you know, that mother might not want to hear, but if you get to do something positive for that child, do it, you know.
True.
If
you're
it's
right.
A book bag or just handing them a book, you know, that would definitely help. But we got another caller that would like to get back into the conversation. Caller 908, you are live back with the middleman.
Am I on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, sir. I want to just mention something. I'm enjoying the conversation. But have any of you ever heard of the saying, many young people use it all day and adults use it too, it is what it is? have you heard that?
Yeah, we've heard that numerous times.
See what that suggests is we can't do nothing. See, it is what it is. It's suggesting that you've been defeated.
Yeah, that's
defeated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Defeat to defeat. Look, it is what it is, but it's just how we live. See, that means that you won't be able to impact if you accept this kind of reasoning.
Right.
That is over.
That's right.
That's why it's very important that we break through these barriers, this language, because, see, words make people. People are shaped by the words they internalize. And most people don't even think about what they're saying. I asked a person, they say they start talking, they say, whatever, whatever. I said, now say that one more time. You know, whatever, whatever. I said, now you just repeat it. Now, what does that mean? See, he's not even conscious of what he's saying. He's just talking, whatever, whatever. You ever hear him talk like that?
Yeah.
He's talking and say, whatever, whatever. I say that, help me to understand what that means. See, because that's how you operate in the world. In other words, you're not thinking about anything you're saying. And when you're not thinking about anything, what you're saying, you can be lulled to do anything because you're dealing from a base of just feelings. There's no thought. That's why Du Bois said, W.E.B. Du Bois, said the extent in which we will go and teaching our children, the extent in which we go in progress in the future depends upon the extent in which we will go in teaching our children to think. Now, I want to go back to what the sister said. Sister, what's your name now?
Jennifer.
Jennifer, yes. Thank you, Jennifer. When we were talking about identity, Jennifer talked about Kente. So you had to realize what happened was, see, he was stripped of identity. You're no longer Kuta.
That's right.
You're Toby.
Right.
See,
right.
Toby going to be submissive. Kunta, you two are better. We can't contain you. We can't allow you to be free. When we give you this new identity and strip you, then we have a certain degree of control that even though we free you, we know how far you're going to go.
Mm.
You see, so when we get into this whole thing about this identity, it's very, very important that we begin to push that you have to know who you are. So the whole idea was, who are you? The great philosophers asked the question, who are you? And know yourself. That's the great work we have to do. I really thank you for having this conversation. I'm glad that Brother Basul from New Jersey invited me on the call. It's my first time on the call with y'all. But I appreciate the spirit, appreciate the energy, and we look forward to joining you once again. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, brother. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome, brother.
Man, who are you? That is a question, Al. And I, you know, that brother said it right, Al. A lot of these young guys don't have identity. And it's up to us to help them to regain that.
Right.
If you can't Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm taking on what now? Go ahead.
Well, they're taking on an idea of what the media wants them to look like and who they think that they want to look like. You know, because that's why we have fashion trend. You know, because you have people that, you know, you put certain things out there just to test, just to see what people are going to do, see if they're going to bite it. You know, just like the, I guess you say, the saggy pants and the skinny jeans.
Right.
And, you know, wearing, you know, how back in the late 90s, you know, how kids were wearing their pants backwards because Chris Cross did that.
Right.
They took on that. You know, they took on that trait. So, yes, most definitely. Who are you? You know, do you have your own individual, you know, self about, you know, your own being? A lot of times, no, because for one, I mean, you look at who's successful, who is doing good, who you admire, you take on their traits, you take on their roles. You think you can become them. You think that, okay, well, I could be the next such and such. But at the end of the day, you have to think about what's going to be best for you, you know, as far as a man or as a woman, you know. So most definitely. And I think we got another caller that want to come in as well again, too, to that.
Which one just came up?
404.
Okay. 404. Caller 404, you're live on the Middleman Talk Show again.
Hey, what's up, Eli?
Hey,
but check this out. The brother said something about Dalai Lama a long time ago about, you know, we got to, you know, teach the masses, but he also forgot that in the supreme wisdom it says 100% the law is your only success. So, you know, you got a lot of people talking knowledge, but once again, they look behind closed doors, they still acting like an old nigga on the street. So we got it. That's what I'm saying. But I want us to pay attention to this. Now, when the last time y'all seen a big national commercial or promotion for a gay community? Y'all really don't see any. You end up driving down the street 6 months, and there's a whole new beautiful community. You know, they had trash and everything all over the place, and 6 to 7 months later, the gays get to it, and it's beautiful. You see what I'm saying? So there's a lot of, and if you look at the penitentiary, These places, they don't birth the children, but these are facilities waiting for the children.
That's what I'm saying?
They have active
places
sitting and waiting.
That's right.
And then they got these third grade tests, and they could pretty much equate who's going to end up in the penitentiary while the children are in third grade. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, so once again, like once we had these facilities, and I like the part when the brother said about the think tank, you know, we're the most intelligent people. And it don't take, it's like the Jews is less than 1% and they rule the world. But they behind closed doors studying and reading the laws of nature. You know what I'm saying? It's like we're too emotional. We gotta grow out of emotion. We only gotta allow children to carry this emotion, but we must use our knowledge and then use some of that emotion to activate our knowledge. Because my friend, he worked at Wendy's, right?
Right.
They know how much money is gonna be made before they even crack the ground. So
yeah,
it's
exactly.
Knowledge out here. You know what I'm saying? There's things that we can do. And like I said, when you look at the gay community and stuff like that, they don't do all that kind of stuff. You know, going, you know, being real loud about it, you can end up driving down the street like, whoa, this new store.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, think about it. How many of us go online and start a nonprofit organization? There's so much money out there for blacks, Latinos, and stuff to help our people. If you just look up, now, it don't take that much to start.
But see, that's the thing about it, man. You know, and I agree with everything you're saying. It's just getting that to the masses. I mean, you can affect the immediate surrounding of you right now. And there's nothing wrong with what you're saying. But definitely, if we can get this to the masses, because, you know, I may know how to, you know, just like the old saying, I may know how to fish. But everybody around me hungry, they don't know how to fish. If I teach them how to fish, they can survive. And if I don't teach them how to fish, they're going to always come to me expecting me to feed them.
I want you to think about this, brother. Take, for instance, if you was in the community, they didn't want to know how to fish.
Okay.
The problem that we have, this is our problem. We get emotional and we're a good hearted. We got a special heart. We got the most beautiful heart on the entire earth because the world destroys and we still love the world. Our main problem is we beyond forgiving. But when you look at these other communities, they connect to people who think like them and want to live like them. And they connect with those folks and they build a community. See, our main thing is, like I said, God help those who help themselves. And we got all these other representatives like Marcus Garvey. They didn't have this stuff after slavery. We are more knowledgeable. We have more money. We have more than those people back in the early 20s. But look what they did. They didn't have internet. They didn't have all these, you know, help and stuff like that. Like I said, the plans are there. They just connected to people who think like them, just like the gay community. What about those earthly people who love the earth? They don't go out crazy and do it. They just say, look, you don't want to listen to me? That's okay. I love you. Then they meet somebody else who think like them. They join these small groups inside of a corner because, you know, even God start religions in a small group in the corner before they let them out. It's a basic pattern. Then you get with those people, and then y'all come together and start doing the work. So you don't got to be all stressed out because somebody's not listening. You don't got to deal with it because we got children growing up, too. And we need to have a certain environment for these children. It's like your boy who went to Des Moines, Israel. You know what I'm saying? People, brother, we doing it. Well, I was talking about the brother down in Georgia with the Eatonton. You know what I mean? They kind of,
right.
You know, got with the government.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just though, like you and me and somebody else, we be consistent and say we're going to do this. Create our own think tank. And then talk to the children and the parents who want to listen. And then when we get to the point where we have a whole city, then we can create our own particular penitentiaries, not to lock people up, but take the bad behavior, brothers and sisters, and we already have our money, and then teach them our way. We create our way. You know what I'm saying? So let's think about it. We got to build different structures. So we can start with a room full of people meeting every week, talking, discussing things, and say, okay, we're going to look at what funds are out there, because it's millions and billions of dollars for nonprofit organizations. You don't need a lot of money to start it. Just somebody to sit in the class. You don't need a PhD. You know, you start a nonprofit and get these funds, take a few children out there, do a little a shelter, a homeless girls and boys shelter, or then do a little daycare or whatever. Get your money, build your community and stuff like that, and allow it to grow through time and knowledge. And then we get to a point where we have a neighborhood. Then we say we want to take these brothers who don't want to listen because the prisons are full. You see what I'm saying? Then we have the brothers who've been in the military, who are retired. We set them up on some farmland, 300 or 400 acres, and then we set up training camps. But then we got to get there. You know what I'm saying? So we don't got to, you know, it's like. It's
right.
It's done. You know, so it's like me and you talking. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, we got another caller that was holding on. Because
yes,
I mean, everything
yes.
you say, I definitely agree with. And,
yes,
you know,
sir,
man, we definitely going to have to talk about that.
Yes, sir.
Especially,
well, let's do it.
Yes. The brother said, don't say that. That's Nike. Relax.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. I said, let's do it.
Careful of your words. I do agree with that. Well, thank you very much, Brother E.
Yes, sir.
All right. Caller, there's a caller from Skype. You are live on the Middleman Talk Show. Thank you for holding. Caller, that's calling 111. Your number's blocked. Hello? I guess they probably did that by mistake. If you would like to get back in the conversation, please press that number one. But, hell, he did say something that was interesting to me, you know. I always wonder what, because, you know, that is the question that everyone poses. What will we do with the bad? If we put everybody together and make all these things happen, what will we do with the bad? The people that don't know, you know. And that was interesting how he said make a system or a prison that we can reevaluate and help them change their thought process, not mind control, not anything
right.
of that nature. And see, that's one thing also that, you know, we always make sure that we try to do. We can take all these ideas in, you know, like the brother said, you can respectfully disagree or you can agree with someone, but we definitely need to find a cause and effect for everything that we do and also find a solution.
Right.
Do we have another call over here? All right.
Yeah.
Caller 973. You're live back with the Middleman.
Yeah, this is Brother Rasul again.
Hey, what's going on now?
Okay. I just want to say to the brother called in, I just want to say first that I'm from Jersey, Newark area, and we were the fruit for the Nation of Islam under Honorable Elijah Muhammad. There was no nation without Newark. When we went to Detroit, we took over the security. So we didn't forget the teachers at all. I just wanted to share that. But, you know, everything that everybody's saying is very important, you know, and the focus is, like we said, you know, we have to come together, we have to work together in these think tanks. And just to give you an example,
mm-hmm.
the other brother that called in, Brother Kabir Shamsuddin, he
mm-hmm.
lives in another town.
Okay.
And what I do is, now, when in his conversation, you didn't hear him say anything about Islam or that religion other than his name, correct?
All right, that's correct.
Okay, so I'm just showing you how we have to work together. Now, I live in a town called East Orange. He lives in Elizabeth. I take mm-hmm. the youth out to the mosque where he's at on Sunday, and he gives that type of talk to the youth that I bring that he talks on the phone. We don't try to give him our particular faith because that's not what it's about. And then we have an open mic forum for them to talk as long as they want. So that's what I'm saying. It's all about the language. We have to have a language that's common to us that we can all relate to. You know,
mm-hmm.
don't we got to get rid of these titles, too. I'm Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm Jew, you know, because that suggests that, hey, if I say I'm Muslim, I'm suggesting to you I got something that you can't get. And titles hold us. So the main focus is that everybody's been touching on is the language. We have to change the language, and that will change the spirit within inside of us where we can get moving again. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Appreciate your call.
All right. Okay. Man, that was some great comments that those brothers
great
gave.
Comment.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, I can see both of their sides and where they're coming from with it. Because overall, you know, it is to rebuild not only the black man, but our community, our women, and our people as a whole. That's the
right.
The holistic goal of everything that we try to talk about at times, if people miss that point. But let's get into these young black men becoming more family-oriented, because I'm a family dude. I came
right.
for it. I love my
right.
family. I love my cousins, my aunts. You know, rest in peace. I love my uncles and my mom and my kids, wife, and everybody else in between. What can we do to help our children become more family-oriented and understand that, you know, without that nucleus, you know, it's going to be kind of hard for us to really make it happen
yep.
out here.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
The purpose of that particular question, you know, everyone who's listened to the Middleman Talk Show, is that, you know, we live in an age of where sex is the new craze for our youth. They're more invited to want to get involved with having sex, having multiple sex partners, trying things, and experimenting. And a lot of our males, you know, our black men, you know, so we're not, you know, fully committed into actually wanting to have a higher level commitment relationship, meaning that we're on the verge of getting married, wanting to have a family, to start a family, becoming a husband, becoming a father. Now,
mm-hmm.
we'll sit down and, you know, lay down with multiple women out here, and then, you know, you get somebody pregnant. You know, you're somebody's baby's daddy. But are you their father? And then also, are you willing to actually take on a role of becoming a male figure for that particular child and also the lady who you had that baby by? Are you willing to actually sit down, work something out, if you want to be with that person and become more family-oriented? Because there are statistics out there that show, I mean, we see statistics that say, you know, marriage is low, marriage is high, marriage is at a, you know, medium rate.
Right.
But how do we know is that accurate? Because everybody doesn't participate in all types of surveys. You
That's
know,
true.
So,
Hold on, Jen.
We see this all the time. And this is the purpose of this particular question, because once a male reaches the age between 18 to 25, you know, in this day and age, a lot of them do not look to actually become married, want to have a family. The only thing in which they're looking at is, how can I get more money? How can I get this? How can I get that? But not actually trying to build something that will have a lasting impact and create a legacy for them. And then you have that 26 to, you know, 30, 32, 33, who were those 18 to 24 who are still not married. They may have two or three children out here. They may or may not have a job, or they'll still be in the same situation that they were in when they were 18 to 24. So, and then you do have a lot of, not all, that do not have a college background to help them get to the next level. And then you have that percentage out there who want to become better, who want to get a good job, but guess what they're doing? They're smoking weed, so they cannot
yeah.
pass the drug test. So, you know, we're you know, it's a still a rotating cycle. You're still, you know, stuck at point A because you can't get to point B. You know, so that's the purpose of that particular question. Go ahead, Jen.
I just saying that, you know, over the last, you know, couple decades, there's been this, like, movement where, you know, it's cool to be single, especially for men. It's
mm-hmm.
cool, especially since what helps promote it is that, you know, women outnumber men now. But, you know, it's cool to have multiple partners. It's cool to have several girlfriends. And marriage is something that is either insensible or something that doesn't work. That's a promotion that's promoted throughout many races. And I think that one of the other callers says, how do we do this? Live by example. You know, create families, show people that marriage does work, and it's a beautiful thing when two people can come together and form a unity, and actually you're stronger because of it. And more people need to see more examples of, you know, marriage and
mm-hmm.
and how unity work. I think that, you know, another caller or one of you guys said that, you know, we live in a microwave society where everything is instant. And you have our people who are our grandparents and the people before us. If you have an argument or you're mad at each other, it don't mean you break up and go separate ways. It means that you talk about it, you work it out, and you know that your bond is stronger than anything else. But you have these people that you don't like it for that one moment, and you get rid of it. And that's not what unity is about. And we need more people to have examples of what family means. And I think until our community has more established families, we're never going to be strong enough to do some of the things that we talked about earlier with individuals, because mm-hmm. I think family, it starts at family.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, and it's funny that you said that, Jen, because, you know, we're going to move on to the next question, also the next part of the conversation. I mean, I find myself just glimpsing around. You know, I watch everything around me, but me and my family, we can be out, you know, on the day or whatnot, and you can look around and see how people give you that look like, wow, you know, that's a family, you know, a nuclear family, two kids and a wife and a husband. And it's a rarity to see that nowadays, even though back years ago you would always see a family together. And people look at it like it's a strange thing because you have a family of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's where that's where the promotional standpoint to that, it's not as shown in the public.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot. You don't see that on TV.
But that goes back to self-worth, too.
Right.
Yes,
most
it does.
Most definitely. But also, I guess you would say as a teenager, due to we have a lot of single-parent homes, and also you have a lot of homes where children are raised up in an abusive household, so they don't want to have that in their further relationship. And then you have people around us, particularly you, that, you know, the peer pressure sets in.
Right.
Oh, man, I got about five females that I'm knocking out, man. You know, how many you hit? You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, of course, you know, friends will want to be like friends, but then you don't have that positive figure in there that tells them, man, you don't have to do that. I mean, who cares about that? You know, the main thing you need to be focusing on is how can you better mm-hmm. yourself to get to the next level in life?
And
a lot of kids don't ask themselves that question.
Right. And one thing I would love to see, man, if we would just actually have a situation where people can create, like the brother was saying, what Eli was saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
If we can create a situation where we can have a little foundation or something of that nature, where we bring these young men and then teach them. I know Derek Bozeman out here in Georgia
mm-hmm.
have let us make man every year. And I know a lot of brothers go down to that, man, and that gives you a lot of insight on what it is to be a brother and what it is to be a black man. You know, it's not
mm-hmm.
dealing with religion or anything of that nature. There's nothing wrong with that because that is a foundation for becoming a better person. But it also
right.
helps with dealing with the everyday day grind that you do to live in this country, whatever we call America. You know,
right.
so we
make
definitely
the reality.
Do things of that. Yeah,
and I say this, I know that we've had a lot of callers today who are Muslims or followers of Islam, and what I'm not Islamic, I'm Christian, but one thing that I do admire about Islam is that they really teach their men to, you know, I think there's a lie that is portrayed, especially from the media, that, you know, Islamic people don't honor women. And I think that if you do research that religion, you will find that they really do honor, you know, women and respect women.
Right.
And I think a lot of our men now think it's cool not to respect women or not to respect your mothers or your wives or honor them. And I think that we have to have more men stepping up and say, you know, don't mistreat women. Like, that's not cool.
Right, because I know one thing that, you know, we talk about some of the characteristics and some of the elements that are needed to bring back the civility in our young men, you know, it is just showing them what it is to be a man proper, you know, what it
right.
is, because, I mean, man, we've lost a lot of things in over the years, man. It's a lot of things. Our kids are looked upon as animals, and they're not looked upon as they're really, feasible for the society. That's how some people look at them. And, I mean, that's the last question that we can get into before we end the show. Why do everyone else look at our young black males as a lost cause? You know, they're quick to want to throw them in jail, or, you know, every time you look on the news, you always see a negative image of a young black male, and that's not the fact that all young black men are creating these situations, or, hey, you know, everybody, there's some people in every race create crime. But not all young black males are doing that.
If I wanted to destroy you, or if I feared you, and if I knew your greatness, and I feared that your greatness could be exposed to the world, and if I feared that you could have these tremendous abilities, I would make you think that you're nothing too. And I would plant in your head that, you know, you can't do these things also. I think that we have to start recognizing that, you know, there are many lies that are implanted in our community amongst, especially our young black men, that we just don't accept it. Just because it's given to you doesn't mean it's a truth. Just because they say your destiny is jail or hell, that doesn't make it true. Just because they say these things, or you see these images, or you even see people in your neighborhood that are, you know, living up to those images, that doesn't necessarily make it true for you. And I think that more people need to preach that to, you know, the young people, that does not have to be your destiny unless you want it to be.
That's true. That's true. That's very true right there, Jen. What we're going to do right quick, we're getting close to the end of the show right here. Man, just let everybody know we talked about Al, and then we're going to go ahead and try to continue this on a little bit to the end of the show. Normally, we would be doing our Talk of the Town, but our co-host Nick Eden, he's not available today, so we don't have that. So I'll let everybody know we talked about if they're just tuning in to the show, Al.
I was just, if you listen to the Middleman Show, if you just now tune in to the Middleman Show, the topic of today's subject was rebuilding the black man. You can also go back and listen to the archive episode of this particular show as well on the Middleman Talk Show page. But we discussed as far as young black males, you know, are they misguided, misled, or have they lost regards on what it is to be a positive black figure for our society? You know, we identify certain things, you know, throughout the show, such as individualism, you know, discipline, lack of vision of what a real man looks like, and visions of self-work. Also, lack of drive and ambition. And some of the questions in which we targeted today, have males who were, you know, becoming adults lost the sense of becoming a family-oriented person? And what can adult males do for the generation now to help them become more of a family-oriented type person? Also, what basic elements are still needed to instill the civility back into our young men? And lastly, have our young men become a lost cause for everyone? We had a lot of great comments, you know, from all our callers and listeners on this particular show. So we definitely want to stress you all, if you're just not tuning in, to go back and listen to that archive episode of this particular show. Join us on Facebook at The Middleman Talk Show. And if you want to, you know, comment about anything that we stated on this particular show, place your comments there. You can definitely send all of us an email at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. That is all spelled correctly, wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. And we're going to go ahead and get into our last break of the day, and then we're going to come back and do our closing comments for this particular show.
All right, and the last break that we're going to get into right here is a song that we all know. And this is what's going to have to happen eventually. And if it don't, we're in a world of hurt right here. And this is the late, great, I can say it again now, Sam Cooke. Change going to come. Telling me don't
Help me, please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Oh, there've been times that I thought I could last for long.
Late great Sam Cooke, man. Change is going to have to come, yo.
Well,
change will come.
Ever.
Say what?
It's one of my favorite songs ever.
Oh, okay. I thought you said it ain't going to never come. Like, what?
No!
we got a comment from one of our listeners on Facebook. You know, Brother Gerard, you know, he just wanted to say that a child was more likely to be raised by both parents during the times of slavery rather than they are today. True statement, I would say.
No, man, that sounds like the Michelle Bachman crap.
Michelle Bachman.
And actually, there were a lot of split-up homes during slavery because a lot of people were sold away from their family. But, you know, that's one thing that made us stay strong to our extended families and aunts and uncles and cousins and really establish, you know, a history of being a strong family unit. And then later on people did, you know, find the importance of having, you know, the mother and the father, the husband, wife, and kids all together, and somewhere along the way we've become lost. But I do believe that, you know, we can find our way back home.
Yes, we will. Change will come. And we would like to thank everyone for taking an hour and a half out of your day this Sunday to listen to our show, talk with us, and converse with us. Man, I love this conversation today, man.
Right.
Loved it.
Great show, yeah.
Loved it. I think our brother Rasul, he has closing parting comments right here. Brother Rasul, we have less than a minute right here. What do you have to say there, brother?
I'd like to say one of the things that's happened is they replaced diapers with iron cord whippings. Today, kids don't know nothing about an iron cord whipping, and I'm not suggesting that, but just, you know, some things we may need to consider again. Peace.
Yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hey, I'm down with the butt whipping.
Not just a butt whipping, but a soul changing butt whipping.
Yeah, right.
And let's bring in caller 843. I see they do have something they would like to say before we close out the show.
Hey, this is T. Smith. I thought y'all forgot about me, man.
Man, man, you know you got to press that number one to take yourself out and add something. About that, bro.
That's all right, man. I'm going to be quick. Talk about the black men.
Okay.
First thing first, with family. One, you got to get rid. Men got to stand up and get rid of this alimony and stuff because men have so much to risk when it comes to getting married now, and that's a problem. A lot of men are opting out, and also black men especially got to make sure they have their stuff together first before starting family. The days of change of Florida Evans gone away. I'm sorry, damn, they're struggling. You need to put your kids in a great position, and also this for both people. Lady, if you know this man gonna run up in you wrong, he don't give a damn about himself, much less you, so don't let him do it. And men, if he can't be controlled, you know the child support system is out there, so you need to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if both of y'all, man and woman, grew up in a house and you ain't seen a man. And a lot of times you don't know why that man ain't there because your kids ain't being told the truth anyway. So y'all need to make doubly sure that you don't put your kids through the same. So
that's
thanks,
true.
Guys.
Yeah. Man, thank you very much, man. Thank you very much. That's, I mean, hey, T, if you could, man, join us over there on Facebook, the Middle Band Talk Show group. We're going to join you on our individual pages so we can make sure if you ever need to get at us, man, you can hit us through that, too.
Yeah, and my name is Tobias Smith on the T-A-B-I-U-S Smith on Facebook. Holler.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Don't edge there, brother.
All right, man.
All right.
Gotcha. All right, man, this is a great show. We do appreciate everyone that did comment in today. Man, thank everyone that called in tonight. You have listened to the Middleman Talk Show. We will be back here next Sunday at 6 p.m. this Thursday with the Talk of the Town Talk Show at 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you tune in. Thank you once again.
We out.
All right. Bye.
The Middleman shouted. Big Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for? So take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, here. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand. Stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man because he was dying to break shop. Every Sunday, tune in. Go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The Middle Me. Hey. What's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening, the middlemen? Hey, what's happening? BlogTalkRadio.com, the middlemen.
Man, what a great show. What a great show in my Tony Tiger voice. Great show.
I can't wait till next week.
Oh, yeah. Man, there's some things we didn't get a chance to cover, but definitely we're going to make sure that we touch that at a later date.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of things in there, man. I love Solution. I want to see more Solution, and that's all at the end of the day that we need. Solution. And when we see Nick, it's going to
y'all better leave Nick alone.
No. Because you know what? Sometimes, Nick, I hate to say this, brother, because I love you like a play cousin that was stuck on the west side for all his life and came to the south for the first time last week. But this sometimes, Nick.
Put the motherfucker on the face!
That's what's going to have to happen. Just saying.
Oh, no.
All irrelevant. Come
Al,
out, man.
Get on the button, Al.
Come out, man.
Well,
I'm out
hey, this. Y'all download this show, tell somebody else about it. You know what, dog? Hey, you know what I'm gonna do to you?
Put the motherfucker on the face!
That's what's gonna happen. Tell a friend about our show.
Most
we will be back this Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Then Sunday, 6 p.m. We're going down.
All right, see you next week.
We are out.
He's out.
Yes.